transition is always, I don't want to say it's always difficult, but it can be a real quick button to make something difficult. And so far, this has been probably the easiest transitional things like that that I've ever been a part of, and I praise the Lord for that. It could have been a whole different story, but it's not. And so I'm very, very excited about that. So and before we move on, you're going to be Luke chapter 17, but can I just have a show of hands tonight? How many of you will begin to pray for Randy and Beth in a different way, in a more committed way, praying for them as they lead the people in Columbia City? Okay, so you got to, that we have made that commitment. Amen. So how many of you tonight, how many of you have ever experienced the Lord touching you? That the Lord has done something for you in your life. That the Lord has answered a prayer in your life that you said that there is only one way I'm going to get through this situation, this problem. It is only that Jesus not pass me by, but stops by and touches me. We are, hopefully, we've all been there. But I want to share with you tonight that we all have not always done what we needed to do after that happens. And we are not the first, but the story is not the first, but it is a part of the ministry of Jesus. So if you have your Bibles, turn to chapter 17 of Luke, and we're going to jump into verse 11. Jesus is pretty hot in ministry right now. He is just, everywhere he goes, it's happening. It is happening. Verse 11 says, "Now it happened as he went to Jerusalem, and he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood off afar. And they lifted up their voices and said, 'Jesus, Master, have mercy on us.' So when he saw them, he said to them, 'Go show yourselves to the priest.' And so it was that they went and they were cleansed." Here we have a group of individuals who are outcasts. They were outcasts because they had a problem. They had leprosy. They were pretty much a mess. Physically, they were a mess. Mentally, they were a mess. They were no longer able to go home and live with their family. They were no longer able to shop in the local market. They were unable to go and worship with everyone else. They were outcast. They had a disease, and it was infectious, and it was contagious. And if you just get too close, you might touch, you might just get it. So everybody says, "You know what? You're out on the edge of town." And they didn't go out and live in the woods. They lived on the edge of town, so they might get some scraps from somebody so they can try to keep on living. And in the pain they were in, sometimes, did you know that the pain you're in, you will be around those who have the same kind of pain from time to time? Here we find out that these men here were hanging out. Jesus, I want to tell you the first thing in ministry, you don't avoid people who are hurting. We need not to avoid people who are hurting. Just because they have some pains and sorrows in their life doesn't give us the right to go around them. The Bible says Jesus went right through there and he stopped in the village. He could have went around. I got more pressing things to do. I am the Son of God. I could have went more on this side because I got more important things to do, more important people to be with. But I want to remind you, in Luke chapter 4, Jesus is sitting with them, and a scroll is pulled out. This is what it says in Luke chapter 4. Jesus pulls it out, reads from the book of Isaiah, and it says this: "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." Jesus didn't come to start no country club. Jesus came to minister to people through healings and miracles, the preaching of the good news. The Bible says also that Jesus came to destroy the work of the devil, or the works of the devil. Came to die upon that cross for that total sacrifice, for the gift of salvation to be given to the world. But Jesus did not avoid people who had problems. In fact, we just read that he came to heal the brokenhearted, to heal those who were sick. So he goes in and he begins to come into a village. Word gets around who Jesus is. They know through the good news of testimony, not through the newspaper, but through word from people, that there is a man and his name is Jesus, and he heals. That's the biggest thing people heard. Heals. Heals. But for other people, when they hear it, it isn't that he just heals. What they're hearing is, here comes a man with hope. Hope. Hope and Jesus go together. But some people don't see that. They just see the healing. Or they have this small piece that there was a hope, but they pull back on it a little bit. Jesus walks by. They shout out a word to him. They don't run to him because they know they need to stay back. They stay back. And they ask, they yell, they kind of get loud. They said, have mercy on us. Now, there had to be a leader in that group. Somewhere there was a leader in that group. I don't believe it was a Gentile. I don't believe it was a Gentile. Gentiles kind of knew their place in life. Samaritans knew their place in life. But God's people always had unfortunately, they kind of had a chip on their shoulder at times. Y'all know, had a little bit of chip on their shoulder. We're the chosen ones, right? At times they had that, but so Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. They needed something. There was hope was getting, let me tell you, if Jesus would have walked by, they would have said nothing. Guess what? Hope just walked right by. You know, hope walks by people every day. Jesus is right there, but they let hope walk right by, and they without even calling on his name. But they've chosen to call on his name. Help us, have mercy on us. So when he saw them, he said to them, go show yourself to the priest. Because when you're unclean and you become clean, then you have to go show your priest so the priest can announce you to be clean. Okay? Very simple piece that they did back then. Jesus was abiding by that, saying, go tell him that you're clean. But here's what we see. And so it was that they went there. They went. And as they went, they were cleansed. They were clean. They were healed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned, and he went back and he talked to Jesus. Now, I'll finish that up. He's walking along and he is healed. There's a crowd of them. There are 10 individuals who are walking with leprosy. Now, first of all, it had to take faith to walk. Start walking in that direction, because you know what? If you have leprosy, they will take you out, or they will push you out, because you're not going in. Because if you can go in, you would already been in. You have leprosy, you're out. You're an outcast. So the first part is their faith is they announced who Jesus was. Jesus. They knew, have mercy on us. Second of all, when he said to walk, go to the priest, they had to walk in that direction. And when they begin to walk in that direction, your faith needs steps. Amen? It just can't be about what we say. We have to put some steps in our faith. Some of you tonight are still stuck. Some of us are still stuck just on the word, yeah, Jesus can do it. But we don't have the steps to take. We have not got the faith yet to take the steps. These individuals did. Can I tell you, for a moment, when you're struggling, the best thing you can do is find a Christian and start walking alongside with them. Do you know your faith is an encouragement to someone else's faith who is a little bit maybe down and out or a little bit lower than yours? We need people to walk with of the same faith of Jesus, right? So they walk together. 10 of them begin to walk together. But there was a difference in the one man. The one man, he notices that he is cleansed. Not only do some people just stop at the words, Jesus can do it. Some will turn around and take a step of faith. But it's this last one that is the honoring piece. Because God loves to give. Amen? I am a recipient of the blessings of God in my life. And I'm thankful for his blessings because my life would not be what it is. It is not perfect, but it is a much better life than it, with him than it would be without him. And so we see the piece here. He does something different. Once he notices that he is healed, the Bible says that he returns. He returned with a loud voice and he glorified God. He went back and he thanked God. We need to start thanking God for what he is doing in our life. If you are saved tonight, you are a miracle living. If you are walking in God's will, you are a walking miracle. You're not just a, I was a miracle. You are a walking miracle. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice, he glorified God. And then he fell down on his face and at his feet. You can't do that unless you've been humble. Okay? We need to be humble. And he giving him thanks. And the Bible says, and he was a Samaritan. It had to put that in there. He is the unbeliever guy, or the guy that believed but couldn't get in the in crowd because he wasn't one of the people. He didn't have that bloodline. He was not a Jew. He was a Samaritan, a dirty man. Not only was he. You see, when you have leprosy, everybody in town says, you're messy, you're dirty, you got a disease. In the leprosy crowd, he's even worse than the rest because he wasn't a Jew. He was a Samaritan. So he's the outcast of the outcast. And he's the one that feels the healing and he goes back to Jesus and he glorifies God. He falls on his knees and on his face. And he is humbled by the act of God. The act of what Jesus has done. But anytime we do something like that, I want you to know that there is something that will come out of the mouth of God. You'll see it all through the book of, the Old Testament. When you do it the right way, God has something he usually wants to say. And God is always right. Amen? And it's always good. But sometimes it's not. But it's right, because we don't always do it the way we should. Verse 17 says this. After he gives thanks, Jesus said, and he answered and he said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? I want you to look at me right now, all of you that work in the ministry. Are we looking? You cannot help when you're helping someone that if they go and you help them, most of them are not going to come back and tell you, thank you. And when you work with them in the women's shelter, or the soup kitchen, or whatever we do, the other things that we did out throughout this day or earlier that I know that we did, here it is. They're not always going to tell you, thank you, you did a great job. Thank you for helping me in my needs. They're not always going to do that. But it does not give us a reason to quit. We can't use that as a success and make us feel successful. We do it because God called us to do it. We help because God has called us to help. That's between, really, them and God. God will take care of that, all right? But we need to make sure that we are doing it for the right reasons, but we're not doing it so that we hear them say, thank you. Just because they don't say thank you does not mean we did the wrong thing. Okay? But Jesus says this, where's everybody else at? Do you know that we take God's blessings and answers to prayers many times if we spent time in prayer? And once God fixes it and does it and gives us that miracle piece, we have a tendency to be like the 9 too. We just take it and we run with it. And we begin to draw away from God with the miracle that he gave us. And sometimes the mess we're in is the place that God allows us to be because that's where our relationship with him is the best. Now, I am not talking about sinful living. Because if you think that, then you are thinking completely opposite. Because when you're in sinful living, you already drew away from God. But these men did not choose to come back. In my mind, I'm thinking logically, wow, I did not see my wife and kids for 5 years. I've had leprosy. I'm going to go see my kids. I think I would be in that trotting to run to see my kids. I've just been healed. I can go see a grandkid that I've never met before. I only saw in the distance. I'm going to go see my wife and spend the night with her. I've been with her for 10 or 15 years. I'm going to go eat dinner with my family. And those things are all important, but the one man chose. He did not let the best thing go. He remembered, I wouldn't even be able to do those things if it wasn't for Jesus telling me I'm healed. Sometimes people ask us in the mail ministry if the money that is spent, is it really, where are the people? How come they don't flock into the church to come into the services? We've asked that. Many people have asked that. Sometimes we have a woman that will come across and graduate right off and we won't see her again for a while. And people will think, well, where's the success in all of that? How can you justify $120,000 in ministries and all that? Listen, success is not what we see as we see it. It's different in God's world. It's different. Let me tell you, when God's working with somebody, He doesn't stop working with them because they don't go to the church anymore. Many times God's working with them because He's got another church He wants them to go to, because when they come in here, people still judge them for the way they used to be. 9 men chose not to come back and give God honor and thanks. I think I've already been guilty of that from time to time, asking God to do something, and I did it really quick, say, Lord, thank you for that, and I move on and go on. But you know what? If I spent that much time in prayer over that, I think I need to spend some more time in thanking Him for that. Because the true blessing comes not when you're in the midst and wrestling. The true blessing is giving God the praise. Because our heart is at peace, our spirit's at peace, and we're able to do that. But what does Jesus say here? He says, were not any found who returned to give glory to God? Except this foreigner. One day I pray that a lost person will come in and become saved and glorify God in a way we've never, ever, ever experienced. But I promise you this, and I don't mean to say it and be negative, but there will be somebody in the house and say, that is all fake. That's all fake. That's not real. Listen, we are missing it when we begin to judge others. You notice we don't see any excuse from this man about the other 9. Because Jesus was asking, where is the other 9? But He tells this man, arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well. I think there was a pretty good ministry testimony right here with this man. Let me tell you before I close out and move on to the next thing, but here it is. Here's the awesome piece. 10 men had leprosy. But only one can go back to his family and tell you that he had a personal conversation with Jesus. The other 9 did not. They had a personal connection in a group-wise that Jesus told them all, you're cleansed, go on, go show yourself to the priest. But only one could come back and tell his family. When he got to go back and eat and do those things, he could tell you, I talked to the man who cured me, who gave me the miracle to come back to my home tonight. Who do you think began to worship? Jesus. Who do you think began to worship and lift up the Lord? I think it was this man and whatever family that he had. That is the way that we need to be as believers in Christ. Not taking what God has to offer and running and drawing away from God, but taking what He has given to us and allowing that to draw us to God. Amen? Here's our scripture. We need to continue to draw to God. But when you draw to God, it sometimes gets a little scary because we become vulnerable. Jesus said, where's the other nine? Let me tell you, if anybody knows about numbers, it's Jesus. I healed 10. Where's the other nine? Where's the other nine? Do you think he knew where they were? I think he knew exactly where they were. But it was the man who was the outcast of the outcast that gave God glory. Do you think God accepted that? Oh, I think he did. Do you think God will accept it when you praise his name for the things he's done for you? You know what this story does for this man with leprosy? It puts God up here and him down here. Actually, the disease he has now becomes a secondary thing, because the first thing now is all about who God is. It's all about Jesus. Folks, this church has experienced that in so many ways. We cannot let the nine who leave bring you down spiritually or emotionally. You cannot let that lead you. We must be focused on who God's called us to be. Let God work out those things. But we must be faithful with what he has for us. Amen? Amen? So what we're going to do right now is I'm going to ask us to stand. We're going to have a moment where you can respond to whatever God has called you. But I want to ask you to do one thing tonight.